Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When this innocent man's parking space for his bike was stolen for days on end, he came up with a genius solution to get his revenge. Trying to be nice and leaving polite notes, asking the guy to leave, clearly wasn't working, so instead he buys the most expensive chain he can find and just locks the bike up, leaving the owner completely helpless. This is r/pro-revenge. Using my parking space? All good, you'll be using it forever. So, I'm living in Japan now, and here, people ride bicycles a lot. You can't leave your bike anywhere, and you have to pay for parking, between $1 and $2 per day. There are very few free parking areas for bicycles. Most people leave their bikes at the same place, so they pay monthly, because it's cheaper, and you have your own space. This event started a couple of weeks ago. Someone in my building started having a guest who decided to steal my bicycle parking space whenever they came to visit. Sometimes they'd stay the whole night, so I had to go to the station, pay $1, and come all the way home walking, which meant I'd need to walk to the station the next day, getting up earlier, walking like 20 minutes to the station, all while carrying my heavy bag. Now, all the bicycle spaces have a number, which means they are reserved for someone. Mine is 105, but this idiot decided to take mine whenever they came to visit. The second time this happened, I told the building manager, but they didn't do anything. The third time I saw the bicycle there, it was the same red, expensive bicycle. I left a note in Japanese saying, "Please don't leave your bike here. This is my space, and I need it every day." I found the note re-taped with the same tape I'd used to tape it onto their bike to my parking space, and it had a couple of bad words in Japanese at the end. Basically, he was not only stealing my space, but making fun of me by insulting me. Fine, it's just fine. I probably wouldn't have done anything about it if he hadn't written those words, but they triggered me and got the worst out of me. This person did it again a couple of times, so I knew this would continue. I was thinking about buying another bicycle, a better, more expensive one I could use to go on cycling trips, so a good chain or lock was needed anyway. I bought one of the thickest they had at the store and decided to try its efficiency. I locked his bicycle the next time I saw it there. It hasn't moved for the last 7 days. There were two notes. The first one was a very aggressive one, with more bad words and threats about going to the police. "I don't care, let's go that way, buddy." The second note days later was an apology, and they begged for me to unlock the bike, because they tried to break it, but they couldn't. I guess he's learned his lesson. I'm pretty sure he won't do it again, but I just want to enjoy this feeling of victory for a couple days more. I'll let it free in 2 or 3 days, I guess. Now, this is simply sensational, and let me say, it is completely justified. What an absolute clown. Stealing someone else's parking space is bad enough, but then writing on their notes, their polite notes saying give it back, just with insults, that's even worse. You're a disgrace. You know what, if I was OP, I'd be inclined to say never unlock your chain. They deserve it, they really do. Because that's just, you know, using someone else's property. It's very, very shameful. The only issue here is, if it is a very expensive lock, and it seems like it probably is, eventually they're going to have to go and get some massive bolt cutters, or maybe even something that's, you know, a little bit more powerful, and then you'll break your lock and you would have lost a lot of money. But in principle, is it worth it? I think it is. Cancel a land lease and hope to make a windfall. Hope you like a lot of dirt. Let me preface this by noting that this revenge was not my doing. At least, not exactly. It happened back in the 90s when I was in high school and centered around the type of school I attended. So, in case you weren't aware, it's very common in agricultural communities to have what are known as farmers' schools. That's not a technical term, but more just something easy to define them. The schools are generally organized by the local farmers, and while you still study the various courses needed to get into college, you also study farming technology courses and get credit hours for work study, i.e. working on one or more farms. The area I lived in was surrounded by a number of large farms, which grew cotton primarily. So during the year, we'd spend time out in the fields, both tilling, planting, and harvesting. One of the farms near the school was this 1,000-acre spread that, like the others, grew mostly cotton, though sometimes they rotated to soybeans or silage. Basically, that's corn, but you don't harvest it. This farm had a long partnership with the school, so the students provided near free labor for the farmer. The farmer leased this property from some out-of-state owner and paid them a portion of the revenue from the harvest. Imagine my surprise then when me and many of my classmates arrived at the farm to do our work study, and the farmer instructed some of us to crew the sprayers and start spraying herbicide on the fields, while others, myself included, were to take tractors and discs and plow everything under. The farmer wanted every square inch of the fields returned to just dirt. We were shocked, to say the least. But after some discussion, we set to work. It took us the better part of a weekend to do so. And when we were done, the field was in a beautiful, if barren, state. The farmer thanked each of us personally and paid us about $500 each. That's quite the sum for a 90s high school senior. We returned to the school, told our headmaster that the contract was completed, and he informed us that the farmer would no longer be working with the school, and we'd be sent to one of the other larger farms for the rest of the year and our work study. It was probably 2 or 3 months later before word started going around about why we'd been instructed to destroy the crop. Granted, these were just rumors, but based on how things turned out for the farmer, I suspect there's some truth to it. So, apparently the landowner had decided that he was going to not renew the lease the farmer had on the land. This lease renewal just so happened to fall a few weeks before harvest season would start. Given that the average cotton farm earns about $1,500 per acre, a 1,000 acre farm would easily net the owner $1.5 million. About $500,000 of that would be pure profit. Now, I don't know what the farmer's lease was, but it stands to reason that it wasn't anywhere near that. So, this landowner had figured out a neat little trick. Let the farmer get a good crop planted and then refuse to renew the lease. The farmer would leave the plants in the field, and the landowner would just need to pay some contractors to come and harvest it, and they'd earn a profit. How scummy is that? Since at the time, the farmer's lease wasn't yet up, he decided to prevent that from happening. His act of revenge against the owner was to prevent them from cashing in on their hard work. Sure, it destroyed his farm, and he had to sell off most everything he owned to buy some property for himself, but he'd proved a point. The owner did try and sue the farmer, though he didn't really have a leg to stand on, or so I was told. I think the court ruled that since the farmer was still under the lease when he had the land tilled under, then it was his property to do with as he wished, and thus the landowner couldn't tell him what to do with his property. I learned a rather valuable lesson from that man, beyond what I learned about farming. That lesson was, never, ever cross someone with nothing to lose. I mean, look, I know I said it as the story was progressing, but this is so, so scummy. I don't know how many years that this farmer has leased this land for, but to do that as the owner, make him do all the work and then just say, actually, no, I'm gonna have it back now and contract someone else to do the work at a cheaper price, making more of a profit for myself. That is so scummy. That is a definition of scum. It's so snaky as well. Like, all the work's been done. All that's left to do is yield the rewards. And then you say, no, I don't need you anymore. I'm gonna get all the money myself. Scum. And look, it's obviously great stuff from this farmer. He's lost a lot of money doing this, employing these school kids at $500 a pop to go through and help him just destroy the land, turn it back into dirt. He's losing time, losing money, losing energy. He's gaining literally nothing from what he's doing, apart from that inner feeling of joy at knowing that he is enacting the best karma possible on this absolute douche of a landowner. You know what? This amazing story actually reminds me of one of my favorite ever stories of revenge from the subreddit. And yeah, let's throw it back to 2 years ago. I'm going to read it out right now. This one is phenomenal.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Landlord advertises all of our company's equipment for sale to our competitors. Best follow our eviction to the letter. I work for a leisure company. Think soft play, indoor soccer, laser tag, can't be specific. Now, prior to lockdown, managers and the big bosses were negotiating the renewal of the lease on one of our parks. Things were going mostly smoothly. However, the landlords were difficult to contact. Then, 2020's trash hit the fan. All of our sites were closed, and everything was thrown into a mess. Negotiations began to slip down the priority list. Nobody thought the landlord would push an eviction for an expired lease during this period, especially with it still getting rent, despite the site's closure, and the closure of every business and restaurant in the immediate area. We were wrong. A few days ago, we received a letter saying we had 7 days to leave the premises and take everything with us. We're reminded that anything left in the building after 7 days will become the landlord's property. That line is very important. Now, a lot of construction goes into installing our equipment into a new building, which makes emptying one even harder. At a lockdown with no staff and most businesses shut, it meant that saving much of our assets would prove to be extremely difficult. To lose a profitable site and all of its assets is definitely a blow to our company. But here is where it gets worse. A few days into our 7-day eviction, we find out that the landlord has been advertising our park to our competitors. But he isn't offering just the building, he's offering all of our stuff pre-installed. Ready to go, just needs rebranding. The landlord has evicted us from the property in an attempt to increase rent and make a solid profit from our equipment installed because he thinks we won't be able to empty the park. We were furious. And here is where a little bit of malicious compliance and revenge came in. We were told we had 7 days to move everything we owned out of the property, so that is what we did. Local businesses from all around offered up free space to store our things. A few people came back out of lockdown, and they all spent the rest of the week removing, selling, or destroying everything that was related to us. We didn't even leave light fittings. In every other site vacation we have seen, we always end up leaving thousands of dollars worth of disco lights in the ceilings because they're too hard to get. We leave most of the construction in, as well as things like the bars and kitchens that all stay intact, recognizable as what they once were, but not this building. We ripped up the flooring we installed. We tore down the walls that were not part of the original structure, wooden walls to divide up the space. We ripped apart our manager's office and removed all artwork and lockers. The landlord now has every new deal he's been making dead in the water, and a large renovation bill to install new flooring, etc. Or a company willing to do it themselves, like we were. Lockdown's been extended another 4 weeks, so he's got at least another 4 weeks without rent. We were paying, and he won't have any potential buyers. A little silver lining, the assets we got out of the site, fridges, TVs, equipment, food, tables, have all been sold, and the lack of rent and additional income has helped the business and paid staff wages. But that is not the end of the story. There's actually an update, guys. Here is what happened next. We handed in the keys, and it was probably the quickest handover we've ever had. The landlord clearly didn't want to make any kind of conversation, and there was definitely an elephant in the room, but he said nothing about the lack of equipment. Complications did arise when we went to get back various deposits, but he had no case to withhold the deposit from us as the building was in excellent shape. We conducted much of the maintenance work ourselves, so the building was in a significantly better condition than we found it. We also cleaned up 99% of the rubbish and dirt from our demolition crusade, so we couldn't even bill us for cleaning. A very minor bit of pressing from our legal team meant that we received everything owed back in full. Now, as of the time of this update, the building is still vacant, and as of yet, we don't know of any potential buyers. At this moment in time, our company is still standing, despite the pandemic closures and lack of business. Staff are all still employed and doing well. Guys, you can probably see after reading that why that is one of my favorite all-time Reddit stories, let alone revenge-based stories. I just love it. It's so good. It's similar to the one I just read, I know, but I just had to read it to you. It's just one of my favorite stories that I've ever read on Reddit. I just love every part of it. What can I say? It's just so nice, isn't it? When massive bosses that are just like idiots trying to make as much money as humanly possible, not even caring about other humans, one more zero on the end of their bank sheet is all they're worried about, and then they just get shut down by great people like OP and their team. Losing a lot more money than they would have done had they just kept going on as normal. We saw it in the previous story. This is an all-time classic example. It's just brilliant. I really do love it, and I hope you guys do too. Anyway, people, that is going to do it for this episode of r/ProRevenge. Really hope you enjoyed it. That classic story, I always love it. If you want my second favorite all-time revenge story, that is on screen right now and linked down in the description. Yeah. go and watch it. Like I said, it is an all-time favorite of mine, as that one was as well. If you're new to the channel, hit this button to subscribe. Check me out on TikTok, my podcast down here. I'm all across the internet these days, baby. We're going global. See you tomorrow with a brand new one.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.